All right, ladies and gentlemen, I promised I wouldn't preach for 35 minutes, but I didn't promise I wouldn't preach at all. So I want to start with a story. A farmer went out to sow seed into his field. It was that time of the year where a farmer would go out and he'd prepare his field. He'd check out the field. He'd plow the field. He'd make sure everything was ready. And at just that right time, the farmer would take the seed and sow it into the field. Well, the field to the farmer meant everything. The field was his livelihood. The farm meant whether he could feed his family. It meant whether they could trade the things that they grew for the things that his family needed. And not only that, for the farmer, his father, his father's father, his father's father, father, his all generations before him had been farmers, and so his farm meant the world to him. It meant everything. And on this day, the farmer went out, like I said, and he got his field all ready to go. And this day, he had two barrels full of seed, two giant barrels full of seed to sow into his field. Those two barrels represented what was a bountiful harvest the previous year. They had grown and harvested so many crops that their family had everything that they needed in abundance for that year. But now it came to the time where that harvest had about run out, and these two barrels were all he had left. And so the farmer was kind of at a crossroads, having remembered how great last year was, but now there's nothing in the field. And the farmer bends down and he grabs some dirt, and he shakes it around to feel it. And some farmers, I understand, they even smell it. And he throws it back down on the ground and he watches which direction the dust goes to check for the wind. And he looks to the north and to the south and to the east and to the west, looking around for the clouds, see if there's any rain on its way. And he looks back at his two barrels full of seed. And the farmer has quite the decision to make if you think about it. Because he doesn't have a 9-to-5 job to go to. He has two barrels of seed that have to grow into a crop to support his family for the rest of the year. And so what's the farmer to do? Does he take these two barrels and does he just start grabbing them by handfuls and sowing them out into the field and just empty both barrels and sow abundantly in hopes that the weather and the rain is going to be just right? Or maybe do you think the farmer would maybe just be better off taking a bucket of seed and setting it to the side and taking these two barrels and putting them back in the garage and holding on to them for next year, and then taking this one barrel and just hoping, maybe just hoping that just with this one barrel he can get to the other two barrels next year. With this one barrel, if he just sows just a little bit, maybe there will be just enough for his family to eat for the whole year, and then maybe next year will be even better and he can sow the rest of the two barrels. I wonder what you think the farmer should do. I see a lot of heads nodding like this or shaking like this. My guess is that there's probably not a lot of farmers in the room. I think Nancy grew up on a farm though, right? Where are you at, Nancy? Grew up on a farm? So you know a little bit about this stuff maybe. You know, when scripture was written, when the Bible was written, it was written to a farming community and culture. In fact, basically everyone from the beginning to the end of the Bible and Scripture, they were either farmers or new farmers. And so a lot of times when you come to little stories in the Bible, it talks about farming. Because the people in the Bible would have totally understood the farming lifestyle. And so I want to look at this really quickly. So if you have your Bible, open up to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. If you don't have a Bible, grab one of ours out of the pew in front of you. And if you're going to grab one of ours and open it up, to make things quick this morning, open it up to page 829. That'll get you right to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. So 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and we like to let you know that if you don't own a Bible, you are welcome to take one of ours as a gift from us to you. Now, to kind of spoil the surprise that's about to come, back in the farming days, and even now, if you would have suggested to a farmer that he take his two giant barrels of seed and go hide them in the barn for a year, he would have thought you were an idiot. He would have thought you were foolish. He would have thought that was ludicrous to even consider saving two giant barrels in your barn for the next year when you've got a field ready to plant right now. And that's actually what Paul shares here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We're going to look at verse 6. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Now, I don't know if you've figured this out yet or not, but we're not going to spend our whole morning talking about farming. And then the other place where these verses usually come up is when a guy like me stands on stage and wants more money, right? That's where these verses come up. But actually, we're not talking about either one of those today. We're talking about the type of church that God wants us to be and the type of church that Jesus created us to be. You see, I don't know if you've thought about this or not, but we actually weren't designed, Christians weren't designed just to be gatherers. We weren't designed just to gather together, gather things, gather stuff, gather resources, and sit in our little happy building. That's not what we were meant to do. Do you know what Christians were actually meant to do? They were meant to do what Paul is talking about in this verse. We weren't meant just to sow just little bits and then gather a whole bunch. We were meant to sow and to scatter in abundance. Because when you sow and you scatter in abundance, the return is also abundance. You see, the church that God wants us to be, it's not about farming, it's not about money. It's about our willingness as a church to be scatterers and sowers of the word of God, not to just be gatherers. I'm talking about us being a group of people who are willing to not just gather here, but who are willing to scatter in VOE and in Crestline and across the mountain, and I hope in God someday even further than that and beyond, and into other countries and into other places. But the point is this: God actually told the disciples on that day, Jesus told the disciples on that day when he was getting ready to leave the earth, he didn't say, now just keep gathering together. Do you know what he said? He said, no, scatter. He said, go to all the nations and make disciples. You see, church, that is what God wants out of us, not to just gather, but to scatter. But Paul knew, even in these verses, that we all had to make our own decision about this. Look at verse 7. It says, each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So whether it comes to farming, or it comes to money, or it comes to deciding whether you're going to be a sower or a scatterer or just a gatherer, you have a decision to make. Who am I going to be? And maybe better said in this illustration, what type of farmer are you going to be? Are you going to be the type of farmer that locks away two barrels of seed in the garage and just sows a little bit here and there? Or are you going to be the type that Paul is calling us to be right here that just throws caution to the wind and says, this is my time for harvest. Two barrels filling the field. Because what Paul says is, he says, when we sow bountifully or plentifully, we will also reap bountifully. The beauty of it is that if we make a choice, Paul covers this in verse 8, 9, and 10. When we make a choice to sow in abundance, we have this awesome promise. Look at verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. Paul says, you sow abundantly. You take those two barrels of seed, don't lock them away for yourself, but you just sow it out into your field. He says, grace is going to abound in you. He says, you're going to be sufficient in all things. He's going to give you the wisdom and the knowledge, the courage, the strength to do the things that God wants you to do, to abound in every good work. And then he kind of gives a bigger promise in verse 9 and 10. As it is written, he is distributed freely. He is given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You see, this promise isn't just a personal promise where God is saying, you sow abundantly and you will reap abundantly. He's saying that if we band together as a church And instead of just sowing a little bit here and there, if we band together as a church and we say, we are going to sow abundantly, we are going to scatter abundantly, we are going to disciple in abundance, he says right here, not only did he supply with what we started with, but he says he is going to multiply the seed. And he is going to multiply the sowers. And he is going to increase the harvest. You see, this is what God desires in the church today. And I'm not just talking about Woodlands. I'm talking about any church. God desires churches to be disciple makers who will go out from one person to the next and watch the word of God and the disciples being multiplied. Today is different, though. Because for 18 months I've stood up here and I've preached sermons just like this to encourage you, challenge you, exhort you, motivate you to be disciple makers. And for 18 months it's just kind of been words, 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 words. Today is different. Because there is a group of people who sit among us right now who have decided, I am not going to sow sparingly. I'm going to sow in abundance. I am going to throw caution to the wind. I am going to take my two barrels of seed and I am going to dump it into the people that God has given me. And I could not be more joyful, more excited, and more thrilled that you get to share that with us today. In just a moment, Mike's going to come up and he's going to introduce these people. And I can't wait for you to see their faces. And I can't wait to celebrate with you these people who are taking Jesus' command seriously to go and make disciples and who are actually going to get started with it. Because they've made this decision, I'm going to sow bountifully. And because they've decided to sow bountifully, I believe that verse number 9 is going to 8, 9, and 10 is going to happen in all of their lives. God is just going to increase in them, increase sufficiency, increase grace, increase power, increase strength, increase wisdom, more and more and more. And I believe, even to take it a step further, I believe with this first crop, if you will, of disciple makers, I believe God is going to bless this church. I believe God is going to bless this church because we are taking his word and his command and his mission seriously. I haven't done this alone. I get to be the guy that stands up and smiles and everybody pats on the back, but I haven't done this alone. In fact, this has probably been 50-50 or maybe even more, 75% Mike and 25% me. And so I'm actually going to turn this over to Mike now because he's going to come up. He's been my partner in crime in this whole thing. He's been the guy who's been working behind the scenes. And he's going to share with you what happened over the summer, and he's going to get the disciple makers up on the stage.
You bet. Hey, guys. You probably remember, well, it was about April, May, some videos came out and landed in your inbox of your email, and you saw Daniel and I on screen, and we kind of stumbled through to do our best to explain what it was that we desired to do up and coming over the summer. And we just invited a lot of feedback from you guys to take your questions about discipleship, see what you were thinking, any places that you maybe were uncertain of. And so it was a lot of fun for us to go through and shoot those videos. And then at the tail end of that, we kind of dared you to take the next step with us. And so 10 people were wild enough to take that dare, that double dog dare, and they joined us for the summer. And so... This is something amazing about this church, and I'll say that Anna told me on her way in today that my hands were cold, and she said that's because my heart's warm, and really, truly, my heart is warm for every person who indicated interest in this group, because the people that are on stage aren't the only people that wanted to be there with us this summer, and so there could be several more of you on stage with us today, but today, we want to recognize, celebrate, encourage, and then exhort those people who decided to become disciple makers with us. And so it was an incredible summer. We were challenged every week. People gave up their Monday nights, sacrificed it to come be with us, gave up hours during their week to study the material and to really chew on it, to be shaped by the scriptures and really become disciples who are going to make disciples in the pattern that Jesus handed down to us from the scriptures. So it is my incredible joy to be able to invite on stage all of you who are in the group. So go ahead and stand up and come up here with me if you were in the discipleship group this summer. The this is so exciting. This is so cool. We have Tony and Norm and Helen. We have Deanna and Justin. We have Elton. We have Aaron. And we have Shanda. And we also have Paul and Dee Goble, who are not with us today. They're on vacation. But I just wanted you guys to hear from them directly, because I could talk about how we learned about how to be intentional leaders with a reproducible process and a relational environment. But I would like you to hear directly from them this morning. And so I just have a few questions. We'll get to hear from everybody. And my first question is for Tony. What was your favorite part of the course?
First of all, I have to tell you, this young man has never done this kind of stuff before. He is a disciple maker. And as you see up here, his harvest was tenfold. We all have that opportunity. We don't depend on ourselves. We depend on the Holy Spirit. The one thing I came away with that was most startling for me is look at this group of people. They range from the old, and I'll take that, Norm, to the very young, those who have been with the Lord and have taught and have knowledge, to those that are new in the Lord and are young and willing. When Jesus picked his disciples, he started with a group of people that had nothing to do with each other. They had something to do with God. Nathanael was probably from royal blood and a scholar. Thomas was a show-me kind of guy. And he ended up giving his life in India. Peter was just a common fisherman who worked every day to put food on the table. Nothing special about him. The group was so diversified, including John, who was young enough that on the cross Jesus said, "Behold your mother," and gave Mary to John to take care of because he knew he wasn't going to be there. His diversification is our diversification. His trust in who they are and giving their lives is what I saw here. This has nothing to do with experience or age or anything else. It has to do with trusting God and the Holy Spirit. You're looking at a group of people who understand God takes the glory.
Yes, he does. My next question is for Helen, and I wanted to ask, which part of the course challenged you the most?
I think, you know, I've done Bible studies, and I've worked with girls in GEMS for a long time. And but I think with Bible study, it was always, you know, teaching other people and taking that seriously, that we needed to pass that on, and what God had given you, you shared with other people. But the discipleship course showed a whole different dimension in that it's very purposeful, in that you're not just sharing what you know about the Lord and asking a few questions, but really having in mind how can you reproduce yourself. And I think with GEMS we've done that, you know, getting other women involved and kind of seeing where they could blossom and really find purpose in their own lives. And the satisfaction of that, the beauty of that, of feeling needed and giving what you have to other people. It's a wonderful blessing to you. But with Bible study, it's also, like Daniel was saying, it's making new farmers, you know. And not me just farming my crop, but teaching others and how to do that too, so that more people are being fed the gospel, not just on Sunday morning, but as you get to know them. And that was part of the discipleship class, is to not just talk at them, but find out who they are and what's going on in their lives and where do they need some help and some encouragement and pushing them forward a little bit. So it's been just super helpful in those things.
Great. I love that part of it. It's so relational. Well, Deanna, I'm curious, how did you change as a result of participating in the course?
Before this course, I've done Bible studies before and kind of like on my own though. And so this was more of a class. This is more of like we were learning how to make disciples. But it was very like we kept each other very accountable. Like we shared very, very personal things with each other and made sure that all of us were here for each other. Like, I think that's the big point behind not just making disciples, but being relational people and being open with each other. Being able that your disciple or your person that you're discipling can share their worries with you. And you can be there for them, just like Jesus was there for his disciples. And I think that just that whole accountability process was really, really challenging, because now it's not just like, oh, well, this is a curriculum, I'm going to learn it by myself, but other people are there and we're encouraging each other and we're lifting each other up and we're like, no, you need to stay on your job. How are you doing in this? You know, it was really interesting to be taught that way, that we need to rely on others, not just ourselves, that we're all a family in this.
Shanda, you experienced this too. How did you change as a result of participating?
I changed by not only trusting God, but to trust God that these people are in my lives for his purpose. And there was a couple weeks in a row I just didn't speak at all. And God told me, you know, you took the step to not only to be a disciple maker, but to trust in other people around you, that trust in you, believe in you. So I had to open up and share some things I didn't really want to. It's okay to cry. In which I have, because I'm never alone because I have God, but I also have everyone here that you see that has totally impacted me in some way or another. And I had a really strong moment with the Holy Spirit, which was super intense, and God had to just release things out of me that I really didn't know that still existed. So, did that answer it?
Powerful stuff. Elton, what are you going to take away as a result of being in the course?
Well, what I'm going to take away from this is quite a bit. I always thought I knew what a disciple is and a disciple maker was. Throughout all my personal studies and through my studies at Cal Baptist, through Christian ministries, and praying through God to make me a disciple, I thought I had a good grip on it, on what to be a disciple is. And by taking this course, it opened my eyes to a whole new perspective on what it is and what it takes to be a disciple. And it just, it's unbelievable how to talk to individuals, how to just open their minds as to what I know and to take from them and teach them new perspectives on God, to understand where they're at in their walk and to help them in their walk to become a better Christian and to make a non-believer a believer. And I believe that's one of the biggest things. And to not just go and sow seeds within us or within our little community, but to go and sow seeds in the world, within the nations, as God asked us to. And we are blessed to be given a chance to do this, and I am just so grateful. And this, I prayed for years to be a disciple, and this is God sent. And I am grateful, and I am just going to take this and run with it.
Yeah, you can clap. Yeah, yeah. All right, Aaron, same question. What's your takeaway?
My biggest takeaway in a word is intentionality, because I've learned a lot of over the years, and it's been Daniel's heart for a long time and mine, to go out and make disciples, to teach others about Jesus, to build in other people. That's always my heart. I'm very passionate about others. And, you know, in the past, I'd meet someone, and just through the relationship, which is important, but just take an opportunity, try to speak into their life. But it was never an intentional thing. It's if something happened across us, then I would use that moment. But what I've learned is that you make those moments, and you make it intentional. You make that environment, and that's where you see where you can build into people and make a difference in their lives.
Norm, I think you had a takeaway. Yes?
Yes, sir.
Norm doesn't need a microphone.
I better use it anyway. Anyway, Helen and I have been involved with discipling youth for a long time, and we have understands the principles of discipleship are vital for growing the church. And yet when this class came about, we jumped at the chance to be a part of it. Even though we had a busy summer, we were there as often as we can, kept up on our studies, because it was vital. Because this took discipleship to a next thing. Is not only do we want to bring people along, grow spiritually, we want to make them disciple makers of them, and so that they can reach others. Because obviously, I know it. I'm not going to be around that much longer. We want to spread the gospel and get others involved. And I know my biggest takeaway is what Aaron said, is the intentionality of it. I think it's a mindset that we all need to have in making disciples of others. I mean, you look at myself, I'm an engineer. I'd rather sit in a cubicle and work on computers. But yet I've learned that I need to be relational. I need to reach out to other people. And that's been difficult even over the years, but I've seen the results of that, and God has blessed that. So I know that we, all of us, have purposes, and all of us can reach out to other people. That's so vital. I mean, one thing I learned too in the study, it was very scriptural based, and there was a lot of good scripture on how to be disciples, or how to raise disciples, how to be an example. The example of Jesus, I mean, he spent most of his time with his disciples. He did preach to the multitudes, but most of his time was developing relationships, developing disciples. And his last charge to us before he left was to go and make disciples. And that's really what God asked us to do. So I appreciate the class. I'm excited about the potential of that. I learned a lot of good things, even though I'm at my age. And still, I'm excited about what God is going to do in my life and in the lives of this church and all the people here. And it's just exciting. Thank you, Mike and Daniel, for your part.
You're welcome. So I'm picking up on a theme, and the theme is others. And the action to others is go. And so this is a special day for us because it's a graduation of sorts. But what happens after graduation, right? You got to have plans. All right, so I'm gonna ask Justin, what now?
All right, so after the last, the summer, we took this whole course to learn everything, to be intentional, to invest your time in other people's lives, and that's all good. You can prep for it. You can say you're gonna do it, but now we have to go out and make those groups of people we know in our lives, at church and at work, and just people we know, and invest in their lives. And now it's time to get together and be that intentional leader. Take the steps forward with the people around you. Like the biggest part of this was getting into groups. So now it's time to get into groups. We have to do and come together and just be there for each other. And we have this game plan. Now it's time to follow through with it. Yeah.
The follow through is critical. Helen, do you mind if I ask you the same question? Your plans?
I think what's really exciting to me is because of this, and just realizing this, Alex Sabarka, who's here, she's been in a Bible study with me for a few years, and then now this year she's going to lead it, and I'm just going to come alongside of her. And part of the thing that they really taught you is not just to thrust people out into something new, but be there to really help mentor them and in the process of it and help them be successful. And so anyway, I'm really excited about that because I know she's ready. And then what was cool too is when I asked her about it, she said, I've been really praying about what my purpose is, what God's purpose is for me. And, you know, this is good. So.
It is. It's very exciting to release somebody into a discipleship ministry. Aaron, you have some plans you'd like to share? All right.
When we started this class, I didn't have really anyone specific in mind. I have a lot of friends, you know, that God has placed in my life. But through the course of the class, God began to put specific people on my heart. So several are ladies in this church, and there's actually one that's a neighbor of ours. And I believe that she believes in God, but that's about like where it ends. And I asked her and she said yes, so that's really exciting. Yeah, so I'm excited to see what's going to happen with that.
Very cool. Well, the emphasis of the summer course was not just in knowing like knowing things about discipleship, but knowing what to do. And so each and every one of us now, we're equipped. We know what to do. We have a process. We have a plan. And so I think, and I'm kind of pulling this number out of thin air, but I think that 99 out of 100 people that graduate from a ministry degree don't know what to do when it comes to making disciples like these folks do here. And so I really wanted to encourage all of you as a group. You make me so proud. I am so honored to serve alongside you on this mountain, in this church. If I was a disciple, and you are my leader, I would know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you care for me, that you love me, that you'd sacrifice for me. I would go into battle with you. I would follow you there, all of you. And I'll tell you what, you would know the things that most people don't know about me. You would have access to the parts of my life that I don't give everybody access to, and I would be known by you. And I would be wanted still. And I know that about each and every one of you. And so the cool thing is they're not alone. They're not just released. Daniel and I get to work with them every week. Daniel's actually releasing to me most of this responsibility. So I look forward to praying alongside you. I look forward to hearing your struggles and to celebrating with you in the process of discipleship as you make disciples and release them into the world. So
the next thing I want to do is I want to just speak a blessing over you guys because I believe that God has called you to a very specific task with the people that are in your lives. And so I believe that God has a blessing for you guys in that. And I searched scripture for a couple of verses that I thought spoke my heart to you guys and what my prayer is for you. It comes from 1 Corinthians 15 and then Hebrews 13. It says, therefore, my beloved brothers, and I'm adding sisters, therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is never in vain. May the God of peace, who brought up from the dead of our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, and ratified an eternal covenant with his blood, May he equip you with all that you need for doing his will. May he produce in you through the power of Jesus Christ every good thing that is pleasing to him. All glory to him forever and ever. Amen. I'm going to ask now that the elders would stand with me. So Jason and Ken and Tony. Tony's one of our elders. You're just going to stay put. But come stand over here with me, Mike. We've got to figure out how to arrange this. We're going to pray for them in a second. I'm turning my back to you because I'm speaking to them, so don't be offended by this. Not only do we want to bless you and pray for you, not only will Mike and I be working for you, but as Jesus stood before his disciples before he went to heaven, he sent them somewhere. And so now I, as the leader of this church, stand with the elders, stand with the members in the congregation to send you, to commission you. Don't let this go. Don't make this about this. Make this about going. You've chosen to go on the mission of Jesus. You've chosen to pick up the vision of this church and the vision of the Bible by making disciples. And quite frankly, you've chosen to do something that few will do. And today, we as this church, as Jesus did, we speak Jesus' very words to you. So I tell every one of you this, Tony and Norm and Helen and Deanna and Justin and Elton and Aaron and Shanda, therefore, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that Jesus commanded, and he will be with you till the very end of this age. And I declare to you that this church, the elders, its leaders, and its members stand by you, pray for you, will support you, will coach you, and will cheer you on along the way. But Jesus didn't leave it there. Jesus, throughout Scripture, prayed for his disciples. And so now the elders are going to join me in praying for the disciples. So we're going to start with Tony. And so what we're going to do is we're just going to lay our hands. We're going to lay our hands on each one, and one of the elders is going to pray for each of the disciple makers. Please just pray along with us.
It's my pleasure to pray for Tony. I think it was a humbling experience for him to go to this training, because I've always seen Tony as a mentor to me as far as his knowledge of the Bible, and he is just, he's always done discipling. And he's told us stories in our Bible study about people he's touched and lives he's touched. So it's my pleasure now to ask God, Father God, to bless Tony, to send him out to do even more than what he's done before.
Yes, Lord.
Father God, we know that he has a heart for others, and we know that he's just a tremendous example of your love and of your teaching. And Father God, I'm just so thankful for Tony, and we just ask you to bless him in this endeavor. And we thank you for all things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
I have the privilege of praying for both Norm and Helen. And they were a big part, if not the only part, of our Valor this year, of the Brigades and the Gems program. Many of you had your children with them and trusted them wholeheartedly with what they were teaching. They have such a great spirit and so much experience. So I'm just going to encourage them. Lord, we thank you so much for Norm. Thank you for his wisdom and his experience in life. Thank you for his guidance for people, for children, for adults alike. Pray that you would just continue to work through him, continue to encourage him, and continue to just speak to him with everything that you're doing. Pray that you would help him to get a big group of people, a big group of children, if that's what your plan is for him, and speak your word. We thank you so much. We also pray for Helen. We thank you for her wisdom and her experience with life. We thank you for the team that Helen and Norm make together, and so how they're so steadfast and firm. We pray that you continue to honor that, continue to speak through them and bless them, and continue to bless everybody that they come in contact with. Keep giving them strength to get through this, and just speaking into everybody's hearts that they minister to. Amen.
Now it's my pleasure to pray over Deanna. And it always does my heart good when you see a young person with the courage to step up and show her love and her dedication to Jesus and to her fellow people and the people that she's been chosen to disciple. And it does take a lot of courage in this world as a young person to do that, doesn't it? And so we're going to ask God to bless her and give her the courage to step up and do what she's been doing. And we're just so thankful for Deanna. Father God, we ask you to bless Deanna. We ask you to give her the courage to step out and to be an example for you amongst the people that she is brought forward to disciple. And we just ask you that you would protect her, and that you would keep the evil one from attacking her as she tries to step up and just so hard for a young person in today's world to be that example. But we know that Deanna is the example. So we're just so thankful for her. We ask you to bless her. We ask you to be with her. And we just give you the praise for all things in Jesus' name. Amen.
I also have the privilege to pray for Justin. I met Justin, when he first started coming here, and we became really good friends, especially with Deanna here. And we just love to invite him over and encourage him, Danielle and I both. And we really appreciate him, and we're so happy that he went through this program, and we're very proud of you. So, Lord, we thank you so much for Justin. We thank you for his gentle heart. We thank you for the experiences that he's had in his life. We pray that you would speak through him, use him, be a vessel for you to use these experiences and to use this class to speak to others. We thank you so much that he's stepped up just like Deanna has. We pray that you would bless them and help them to grow firm in you and closer with you with everything that they do and everything that Justin does. Pray that you would also bless everybody that comes across him. Help him to continue to have the courage to speak to them. And in your wonderful name we pray. Amen.
Now it's my pleasure to pray over Elton. And some of you might not know that Elton's goal in going to Cal Baptist is to become a minister, to become a pastor of his own flock. And it did my heart good to hear him say today that he learned so much about discipleship in this course that, you know, when you seem, sometimes when you go to college and you're in a ministry class, or when you're in any kind of class, you think you get to the point where you know more than maybe you actually do. And for him to realize that is really a testament to what this class was able to do. And so I'm just going to pray that Father God, that you would lead Elton to his goal of becoming a pastor of a flock. But in that step, that you would have him disciple others, and that he would create his own flock, and that he would lead them to the water, and that they would all be disciples, and that they would also reach out and disciple others. We ask you to bless him, keep him strong, to heal his needs, and we just ask you to be with him, and we thank you for all things in Jesus' name. Amen.
First of all, you are so lucky to have this lady.
I know.
The half-brother of Jesus was James. And it took him just a little while before he realized who it was that was living in his house. It was the Son of God. James became one of the leaders in the church. As a matter of fact, they called him Camel Knees because he was constantly on his knees in prayer. But in James chapter 2 and 14, he said, "Show me your faith by what you do. Don't just tell it to me. Anyone can say, 'I believe in Jesus.' Anyone can say, 'Salvation is mine.' But if it is, like Daniel loving you, if he never brought you roses, if he never said, 'I love you,' if he never took you to dinner, where would I love you be? What you have done is exactly what James is talking about there. Abraham did everything that the Lord had asked him, and he was called the friend of God. You have demonstrated your faith by everything you do for this church. You are a friend of God. And I will pray for you. Abba, Father, your daughter here has done so much for your kingdom, and she continues to do that. You have given her a gentle heart and a strong will. I have seen her heart crushed with things that have happened, and yet she keeps going. I have heard of her triumph with people as she reaches out to them. And now, Lord, she wants to be a disciple maker. She wants to find people who have a heart to serve you. And if there's anyone in this room who can show them how to serve, this lady is it. Give her strength and wisdom and guidance through the Spirit so that she knows who that person is, where they are, and how to touch their hearts. Father God, give her strength. And thank you, Lord Jesus, that this one understands the salvation in the shed blood that you have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is not a setup. We just walked up here on the stage. But I want to tell you, there's a lot to be said about the first shall be last and the last shall be first. I talked about the different kinds of disciples that there were. Everybody, from professionals like Matthew, scholars like Nathaniel, and common fishermen who just worked day to day to day to put food on the table and take care of their families. Peter was one of those. And until the Lord did a miracle in his life, the Torah was something in the background and he knew about it. But when he hauled in the fish, he said, "Lord, I'm not good enough." Yet, we read in Matthew 22 and 14 that when Jesus walked across the water to the boat, out of all of those that were there, professionals, scholars, only one person said, "Lord, call me unto you." And Peter stepped out of the boat. Peter was also the one who, on the day of Pentecost, came out and talked to the people. Because one for one, he knew their heartache. He knew their joy. He knew their lives because he lived it. You are our Peter. Dear God, Father, I have before me a woman who is most remarkable. There were so many hearts that were there during this discipleship training that touched my heart. This one brought me to tears. I wished I had the kind of courage that she had. I wished I could be where she is, but I can't. You picked the disciples in different places because you needed them to go to different people with different experiences, and that's exactly what you want from all of us. The first is last, and the last is first. Bless Shonda as she walks forward and steps out of the boat to not only know you and love you, but to share you with others. To stand before the world and say, "I know Jesus. I know my risen Lord. I want to share that with you. And I want you to be so courageous that you go out and do that. And one of the last things that Jesus said before he went on, and I say it to Shonda, feed my sheep. If you love me, feed my sheep. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
I'm going to just pray really quickly for Paul and Dee. Paul and Dee were probably our most faithful throughout the entire group. And then they were had this long trip they'd had planned for a long time. And so they're not here today, but I'm just going to pray for them. So if you just join me in praying for them. Father, Paul and Dee are inspirations to us all. Father, their love for others, their compassion for others, God, their willingness to put down their self, God, for the others. And so, Lord, I pray for them now. I thank you for this time of rest and this time of recreation, this time of family for them. But, Lord, I pray for when they come back, because each one of them, Father, knows that you've given them a mission, and they are going to find it, and they are going to jump into it. And, Father, I pray for the strength that they need in that. I pray for the courage that they need in that. I pray for the wisdom that they need in that. And I pray for the people, God, that they are going to disciple when they get back. I pray that they would be you would be preparing their hearts even now for your word and for their relationship that they're going to have with them, God, as Paul and Dee disciple them. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys can go sit down. We've had you up here for quite a long time. As you can see, we take this really seriously because this is what we believe church is supposed to be about. It's really great to worship God in song and in music. It's great to study his word and learn about his word. But what's most important is that we all are investing our lives in others through the gospel. And so as you can see, we had, what, 8 people up here today. You add Paul and Dee into that, that's 10. But that's only a very small portion of us. And so I have a challenge for you. Those who sow sparingly reap sparingly. But those who sow abundantly reap abundantly in church. We need to all be sowing into others' lives. But some of you may be at the point of your life right now where you're like, I'm not ready to be a disciple maker yet. And that's okay. And so here's my challenge for you. Become a disciple and allow someone in your life or someone in this church to disciple you and to help prepare you for that. And so my challenge to you is this, is that if you're at that point of your life where you know you need a mentor in your life, you need someone in your life leading you at this stage, on the back of this card, there's a little check thing that you can check, disciple me. And we will get in contact with you, and we will hook you up with a disciple maker from this church who will build into you and love you and lead you. But if you're ready, you think you're ready to be a disciple maker, and you want to learn and you want to be trained, check disciple others. And we'll get in contact with you about this. And the other thing that's happening, and this is good for everyone, and my hope would be is that everyone would sign up for this, because this is the easiest part, is that starting this Friday, we're going to be on a weekly basis releasing information and content on a blog on our website about discipleship, teaching about discipleship, stories about discipleship, testimonies about discipleship every single Friday. And so if you want that to come to your email address every Friday morning, just write blog on your connection card. Make sure you leave us your email address if we don't have it. And whatever you do with this card, whether you put disciple me, disciple others, or blog, make sure you drop it in that offering box on the way out today, okay? And so that's how you all can get involved in the next step of this. So, we did a lot of talking about disciple making. We need to finish with talking about the reason why we're even here. Because there's no disciples or disciple makers or church without Jesus. And so the way we're going to close this morning is by taking communion together. Because communion is the time where we remember why we are what we are and why we even have the opportunity to do the things that Jesus is calling us to do. And so what we're going to do is in a moment the elders are going to come back up and they're going to pass communion out. And in those moments as communion's being passed, just be quiet, close your eyes, bow your heads, and see what work God would do in your heart. Maybe God is going to convict you of some sin or some struggle that you need to deal with. Maybe he's going to further convict you that you need someone in your life, like one of these men or women that stood here, to help you in your walk because we can't do it alone. Or maybe God is going to convict you and say, hey, it is time for you to be a disciple maker. Not to just be a gatherer, but to be a scatterer and a sower. And so I want to encourage you to take this time right now to do that, to allow God to speak into your heart. I'm going to pray. The elders are going to come back up and pass communion. They're going to take communion together. So just hold on to it. I'm going to come back up. We'll take communion together, and then we'll get out of here. So let me pray. Father, I believe that this is what church is about. I believe it's about us gathering, but only for a time, because then your desire is that we would scatter and sow. And so, Father, I thank you for all of these men and women in here who have decided that they are going to scatter, and that they are going to sow, and that they are going to be disciple makers. But, Father, there are many people in this room right now who have things going on in their hearts, and I want to lay those things at your feet, Father, whether it's struggle or pain or sin, whether it's the guilt of the past or the hurt of the past, Father, I pray right now that your Spirit would just work mightily in their hearts, mightily in their lives. And God, that you would comfort them and be with them and dwell in them, God, in these moments that they are so desperate for you. And so, Father, whatever work you have to do in each one of our hearts right now, Father, whatever work you have to do, Father, I say do it. Spirit fall, Spirit work, Spirit move in power in these moments. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The elders are going to come around with communion, take a couple of minutes to pray, hold on to communion, then we're going to take it together.